I'm going to start today with one of the questions I've just been asking people as a conversation starter, because how's it going is not great these days. So, Claire, what's the worst thing that you've eaten since quarantine started?
Oh, man, worst thing I've eaten. Well, I do normally cook for myself, but I've been buying some really weird things just for the days that I don't feel like cooking and things that I don't normally eat, like frozen pizzas. And by the way, I have yet to find a good frozen pizza. If you know of one, please let me know.
I do not.
Oh, by far the worst thing I've had is this creamy chicken noodle soup that I don't even know why I bought, but it was so bad. It was so gross. I had two bites of it and I threw the rest out, and I have four more cans of it in my cupboard. So I don't know what I'm going to do with those.
Yeah. See, this is a hard question. And I mean, for me, there are a lot of choices, but I'm just going to go with one from the other day when I had beef jerky for lunch. That's it. Oh. Beef jerky and some water. And I've also eaten more barbecue chips over the past few weeks than I ever thought possible. However, I've also been making efforts, and it helps.
Yeah, actually, some of the best meals I've had have been simple, healthy meals that I've cooked myself. Like the other night, I had roasted chicken with kale and sweet potatoes, and it was delicious.
Yeah, we've done some good dinners too, especially when you can get all the ingredients and you can take the time. But I think for myself, I don't know if it's the best food, but the best food habit I've made is making myself breakfast every day, like making eggs and toast and bacon and, you know, eating a full meal. And I find it just puts me in such a better place for the rest of the day. And I really notice the difference now in terms of how I feel on the days when I don't have the energy and I just like scarf a granola bar and drink coffee.
Yeah, totally. I'm a big breakfast person. I eat breakfast every single day. I can't go through my day without it. But the big thing for me now is lunch, because I don't really have a routine anymore. I find I have to set an alarm for myself to eat lunch. And if I don't do that, I end up eating junk food and feeling like garbage for the rest of the day.
Yeah, lunch is a problem, hence the beef jerky. This is why I wanted to talk about this today, because I think we could all use a little help. I mean, I could probably use professional diet advice even when there is no pandemic, but the situation so many of us find ourselves in now means that we have an excuse to ask for some. And so from the simple problem of eating on a smaller budget, which is a reality for some people, or to folks who are cooking for one, which can suck, or who are cooking for picky kids, which can suck a lot more, or to people who just eat at restaurants so often that they're not familiar with their kitchen. And of course, the tough job that is making sure that you're eating well, even when you're feeling like crap, even when you're struggling with your mental health, as a lot of us are. I think all of these things are things that we could use some basic advice for that could hopefully make a tough job a little simpler. So we're going to try to get that today. And so we will do that right after, Claire, you get us up to date on everything that's been happening with COVID in Canada.
Well, the federal government has announced new measures to help businesses who've been struggling to pay their rent.
We are expanding the Canada Emergency Business Account by both increasing and decreasing the eligibility threshold. Now, businesses who spend between $20,000 and $1.5 million in total payroll in 2019 will be eligible to receive a loan through the CEBA. This is money entrepreneurs and employers can use to cover operational costs and help with other immediate needs.
And this is meant to help businesses pay their rent for the months of April, May, and June. An inmate at a prison in Mission, BC has died from COVID-19, and this is the first death related to COVID-19 at a Canadian federal prison. In a statement, Public Safety Minister Bill Blair says the government is looking at new ways to protect inmates and staff in prisons across the country. Well, since grounding nearly three quarters of its fleet, WestJet is now laying off 1,700 of its pilots. This will take effect either May 1st or June 1st. WestJet says the pilots will continue to be paid while the airline is under the government's wage subsidy program. And Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe says kids probably will not be back in school this academic year. He also says restrictions on gatherings of more than 10 people likely will not change anytime soon, and the state of emergency in that province will last for another 2 weeks at least. As of Thursday evening, 30,092 cases of COVID-19 in Canada, with 1,264 deaths.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Leslie Beck is a registered dietitian. She's the director of food and nutrition at MedCan, and she also writes columns at the Globe and Mail. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Jordan.
The first question I always ask in the middle of this is just quite simply, how are you doing?
I'm actually doing quite well, thank you. You know, staying healthy, social distancing, so I'm doing well.
How healthy are your meals these days?
Well, they're pretty darn healthy, you know. I have to say. I mean, one thing that I have absolutely been doing, I always do this, but even more attention is paid to it now. I am planning out my meals in advance for at least 5 days and doing grocery shopping based on that, just to minimize trips to the grocery store. I'm really only trying to do a shop once a week if possible. I've been fortunate to be able to make some healthy meals.
When you saw this coming and we all started to think, okay, you know, maybe it began with a run on toilet paper or whatever, but people began to panic buy. What was the first key ingredient or food item that you thought, I've got to make sure that I have this staple for what I do to be healthy?
Well, you know, honestly, I wanted to be able to make chili, whether it was my turkey chili or a vegetarian chili. And so I really wanted to make sure I had canned beans or dried beans if I couldn't get them, canned tomatoes, ground turkey, all that stuff. So, you know, the first time I ventured into a grocery store during all this was 2 weeks ago. My husband had been shopping before then. And it was challenging to get the things that I had wanted to make my chili, my comfort meal, if you will, 2 weeks ago. So I managed. And, you know, I went shopping again this weekend and I found that the stores were much better stocked.
What would you suggest for people who are maybe used to eating out a lot? You know, I know the thing that I've struggled with the last few weeks is lunch, because I always just get my lunch from the cafeteria at work. For people who may cook dinner once in a while, but aren't used to like nourishing themselves from their own pantry 24/7, how should they adapt?
Well, I think it's really important to be able to establish a schedule with your meals. I mean, that helps keep us in some kind of routine, which we all thrive on anyway. But as I was saying, just planning your meals in advance. And I think for lunches, that is, you know, that's a tough one for many people. But what I often recommend is purposely making extra at dinner, so that you can have leftovers for lunch that next day. So if you're grilling a piece of chicken or salmon for that matter, you know, do it again so that you can either throw it into a salad or you can make a wrap with the sliced chicken. Or, you know, the other thing too I encourage is batch cooking is great. If you batch cook, whether it's a chili, a pasta sauce, a soup, something like that, that you can keep some of in your fridge to have for a couple of lunches and then perhaps freeze the rest. But I think you really need to either plan for leftovers purposely when you make your dinner by making extra or batch cook something to have on hand as a backup.
What are some of the key questions you've been getting from people you advise in terms of just like how their lives are changing?
You know, I've been working with my clients virtually for the past 2 weeks, whether it's video or telephone. And I think again and again, what I'm hearing is, how do I keep my diet on track when I don't have my usual structure around me? And that is a real concern. So, you know, I've been hearing, you know, people have been stress eating or overeating, or, you know, it's really hard to overcome the urge to constantly snack when the fridge is just steps away. So that is a real concern for many of my clients. So, you know, I've been working with people and giving them tips to that. And some of the things we've mentioned, I think, first and foremost, it really is important, you know, if you're working from home, is to establish a schedule and stick to it. So, and I recommend that you set your eating schedule just as you would for a regular workday. You know, you might be sleeping in a little bit longer, you don't have the commute time, but start your day with breakfast, plan your lunch, plan your dinner, plan if you're taking a break from your computer, your desk, plan time for an afternoon snack. But a schedule is really important. And then, as we said, just planning your meals in advance, which I think we need to do that today, because we're not going to the grocery store day after day.
So this is all really good advice, and I appreciate you giving it to us. One of the things I wanted to ask is, when things get tough, it's not always easy to be able to do all these things that we know are good for ourselves and good for our families, and in particular, people who have kids at home. Kids might be off their schedules, they might be anxious, worried, and it's hard to get a kid to really sit down and eat a nutritious meal with all this going on. And I wonder, like, how forgiving should we be? Is this a time to like lean into a little bit and let them just have their favorite snacks? Are there things we can try to keep getting them? You know, my daughter would normally get great meals at daycare, and she's a little off her game right now.
Yeah, no, I think you make a really important point. And these are unprecedented times that we're adapting to. And I don't think, you know, we shouldn't be beating ourselves up if it's taking a little longer to find that rhythm. And you don't have to eat. Of course, there's going to be snacks in there that, you know, some junk food, some sweets, whatever the case may be. But I think at the same time, it is important to, we also have to think about, you know, our immune systems. And if a diet is based on a steady intake of potato chips or cookies or whatever it might be, those foods aren't supplying nutrients to support a really healthy immune system. So I think we do need to still at the same time be forgiving, include some favorite snacks for your kids or yourself for that matter, but really try to plan meals around, you know, healthy protein, fruits and vegetables, some key ingredients that support our immune systems.
What about in terms of adapting to what is or isn't in the grocery store? So I know fresh fruit and vegetables are great. Obviously, it's good to have meat for protein. I've been to the grocery store a couple of times and not seen a lot of that in some places anyway. Given shortages of various things, what kinds of stuff should people be grabbing and making sure is just in their pantry that can get them through to times when they can, say, get their hands on protein again?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll start with protein then. So I think good ideas to have in your pantry as backups, if you don't have fresh chicken or whatever the case may be, canned tuna, canned salmon, even sardines, you know, those are really healthy protein foods full of omega-3 fats. Canned beans and lentils are excellent foods to throw into soups, into salads. You can make whole grain bowls, make tacos with them. Those are an excellent source of plant-based protein as well. And you know, you don't have to buy them canned. You can buy them dried if you want, especially a lot of people do that who have Instant Pots and they cook them really quickly on the pressure cooker setting. So those are some foods for protein, as well as, you know, it's also a really good idea to have in your freezer a bag or two of frozen edamame, shelled edamame, again, that you could throw into salads or bowls, and edamame in the pods, which you can steam them and they're great for snacks. Kids love edamame as well. You know, fruits and vegetables, you know, I think it is really important to have some backups in your freezer. And there are certainly these days lots of different choices. Vegetables, you know, you can buy frozen kale, frozen spinach. I've seen cauliflower rice, spiralized butternut squash. So there are lots of those alternatives. And then frozen fruit as well, you know, berries for your smoothies, for breakfast, for oatmeal, that kind of thing. But canned are fine too. I mean, you can also buy, you know, for desserts or snacks for kids, canned unsweetened applesauce, that might be a great thing to have. Or dried fruit, dried apricots, raisins, those are unsweetened dried fruits that you can have as a snack or put into a trail mix. And then, you know, canned vegetables are fine as well if you use those.
What about people who live alone and maybe aren't that clever in the kitchen? There's been a lot of people on social media being like, you know, I never realized until I was forced to stay in my apartment by myself for 2 weeks that I can't cook. And, you know, cooking for one can kind of suck, especially if you're not great at it.
So if you are cooking for one, which can be a challenge anytime, I would plan your meals ahead and try to base them around recipes that use similar ingredients, first of all, so you don't waste. For example, if you're buying kale, that can be added into soups, into chilies. You can bake kale and make the very simple recipes you can find online for baked kale chips. Take advantage of frozen fruits and vegetables, as I've said. But I would also try to stick with meals made up of single ingredients. And that way you have more control over how much you cook, whether it's, a piece of chicken or fish. You can cook quinoa. You can pull out your frozen vegetables. So meals, you know, to get a nutritious meal, it's probably easier if you're cooking for one to make it very simple and based on single ingredients. But I think too, if you're more adventurous and you want to try something, don't be afraid to batch cook. Pick up, you know, go through some recipes, look online. It doesn't have to be something that's a multi-ingredient meal. It might even be making a pot of quinoa so that you have some for dinner tonight. You can throw it into oatmeal the next day. You can throw it into your salad. So simple things like that, I think, are important to consider.
You mentioned stress eating and overeating, but the other side of that is loss of appetite due to, you know, anxiety or terror when you're scrolling through your Twitter feed. And I've experienced that. And if someone really just doesn't feel like eating, but knows that they have to keep their body healthy, what are a couple ways that they can just easily get something down that will be effective at that?
Yeah. So I think that's a really important question that you ask. And you're right. People are anxious. They're feeling stressed. And for some people, that does have the effect that they lose their appetite. And I think it is important to remember that it is really important still to nourish and fuel your body during this time. From an energy perspective, from an immune system perspective. So some things that people might try, I mean, smoothies are a great idea. They're easy to digest. They're not filling. You can make them with milk or plant-based milk. You can add in your frozen berries, some frozen avocado chunks to get lots of healthy fats and antioxidants. So that's one thing. And sometimes just by doing a little something like that, that actually does encourage your appetite as well. Another great meal that's packed with nutrition, especially if you're making it from scratch, or even if you're not, you can, but is soup. Soup, again, it's liquid, so it doesn't fill you like a meal based on, you know, whole foods. And you can add your frozen vegetables to it. You can beef it up with extra vegetables, or you could throw some chickpeas or black beans in it even if you buy something from the grocery store, that's fine. But those are two ideas to really help you continue to get good nutrition without having to sit down to a hot meal that you don't have an appetite for.
Finally, I want to ask you, first of all, for the best thing, the most healthy, nutritious, delicious thing you've eaten since this started, but also you got to tell me what's the worst thing you've eaten since you've been on lockdown.
That's fair. Okay. So the tastiest, the best, I actually have two. One was my homemade turkey chili, which I love. Comfort food. It tasted great. I had leftovers. That was great. But the other was a recipe that it's a fairly new recipe. I haven't made it that often, but it's delicious. And it was a grilled salmon that was marinated. And then I make in a skillet, it had black beans, a little bit of tomato, celery, a few spices. I had that. That was delicious. Served that with steamed spinach. The worst thing, I have had some potato chips. Yes, I have. My husband brought home a bag of potato chips and I did indulge in that as a snack. I'm human.
Yeah. We need to know that you're one of us in these stressful times.
Exactly.
Leslie, thank you so much for your advice. And now I'm going to hopefully venture out to the grocery store and do better.
You're more than welcome.
Leslie Beck is a registered dietitian. That was The Big Story. I hope you listen to it with a healthy breakfast. If you want more of them, you can find them at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. And of course, you can find us and all the other podcasts that are made at Frequency Podcast Network in your favorite podcast player or at frequencypodcastnetwork.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk Monday.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.